This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. I'm co-host Randy Eccles, and today we're joined by Curtis Sanders. You've been a guest here before, and you share some really vital information with us about financial literacy. What's evolved since the last time you've been here?
I have done a lot of work to create a new children's book series. We spoke last time about my Spring City Stories series, where I touched on emotional intelligence and everyday situations going through as a parent and being able to share that information with the community. This time around, via my time here at UIS, being the financial literacy coordinator, diving into that world, speaking with students, speaking to coworkers about financial literacy and seeing where everybody is at, it really sparked something for me to create this new series. One of the things that I noticed being here is, and speaking to the students, is it is absolutely great to speak to students and people at this level to get them to think about finances a little differently and putting something else on their radar. I know I wish I had that at this level, me being in college. Even at the college level, you have so many things going on. You're worrying about repaying your debt. You're worrying about what are my next steps? How do I get through these classes? It's harder to guide people's thinking on the subject matter and can become very scary for them when they're looking at the X's and O's. My idea was to start younger. Took my experience here, took the content and the information that I was disseminating to campus, thought about how I could condense it and make it digestible for children and younger learners to get them while it's still in a space where they can be curious and it feels safe and it doesn't feel like so much is on the line, and just start earlier on shaping the way we think about money.
What age, when you talk about younger folk, is this really targeted toward?
This series is targeted for ages between 5 and 10.
When you've put this together, this is a series.
It is a book. The long-term goal is to operate as a system. We are going to start with the books, the stories, to make it familiar, something that the kids can gravitate to. The way the series is set up, it is set up in trilogies. It's going to touch on a different core set of concepts through three guided stories. Each story is its own level, so we have like level 1 through 3 to make progress as you go and build on the content. We'll use stories to facilitate that learning. The central focus on the stories is a guide named Mo Money. He's a friendly guide that the kids can get to know and help them think about money in a fun way. Mo kind of guides them through each story. The first trilogy is called the Blueprint Trilogy. It lays the foundation, talks about core concepts like budgeting, needs versus wants, planning, saving with a purpose in a really fun way. It gives kids the opportunity to get familiar with somebody that they can grow familiar with.
I have a 15-year-old, and I'm always trying to strategize the best way to transition her into better financial literacy. She hasn't had to pay rent. She hasn't had to pay grocery bills and all those things. But as we go through this period of time we've been through with inflation, it's been a real challenge to go to the grocery store and buy the same stuff we used to buy. Let her know to some extent that this is a little bit of a challenge compared to what it used to be. What's the best time to start introducing financial literacy, and what's the best way?
I think it's going to go by a case-by-case basis. Some kids are going to be more mature than others and pick up on things a little easier than others. For the most part, as soon as they can start understanding that things are going on and they ask questions, as early as 5, as early as you go to school and you're starting to go to the, they have stores in the school and they can bring their own money, buy popcorn, things of that nature. So as soon as they start seeing those transactions transpire, I think is a good time to introduce it to them. The best way is them learning by seeing, and you know, you helping to guide them and just having conversations and making it just a natural part of life. That is what this series is trying to do. It's not really trying to create financial experts at 5, 6, 7, 8. It's just getting them thinking about it, inviting them in on certain conversations, trying to explain things to them in a way that they would be able to understand, and being open to questions. I have children from 6 to 14 right now, and I always do my best to explain to them my thinking. Like if we're going on a vacation, explain to them the factors that I'm considering, or maybe we can't go here this year because there's inflation, or there's this cost that we have to consider. We have to buy flights, we have to buy food, what type of accommodations we're staying in, what the pricing looks like, because there may be an event going on this weekend. I just try to include them on the way my brain works through it so they can get a concept of how does dad think about this, or how does mom think about this? What is all going to be included in making a decision when I'm spending money?
They talk about a lot of adults don't even have any savings.
Yeah.
Getting the education early can at least help them know that they should be trying to set up a rainy day fund or whatever it may be. I've seen contradictory statements that when you give your child tasks to do and get an allowance, that that's a good way to teach them about things. I've heard others say that's not the right time to start tying those two things together. Any sense of that from what you've seen?
That's another thing that is case by case basis, but I'm not against that. I think that the allowance at least gives them a sense of what it feels like to earn money. Even if they aren't grasping the concept of saving or responsible spending right now, I had to do work to earn this money, and it wasn't just handed to me. I've seen with my children, when they're earning money, they have the opportunity to go to the store or go online and spend their own money. They're a lot more thoughtful before they make decisions because they know I have to do more work to earn more of this money. It is definitely a great tool to introduce that level of thinking or that concept of just earning and being responsible.
This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. We're talking with Curtis Sanders. He has a series of books he's worked on. Are those available now, and where would people find them?
Mo's Money Moves just launched. The first book is out. It is called Niall's Awesome Car Fund. It is available on Amazon. You can go right to Amazon.com, look up Niall's Awesome Car Fund. That is book one of the trilogy. There's going to be three books in this first core set. Each book will be released 6 weeks apart. So in the next 6 weeks, you'll see book two, and then 6 weeks after that, you'll see book three. We'll build on the next trilogy after that.
This is Community Voices. We're talking with Curtis Sanders about Mo Money's Moves, and it's about financial literacy, a series of books that are being worked out, available on Amazon now. You worked at UIS for a while and were helping students with financial literacy.
Yeah.
You're recommending much younger, 5, 10, starting this out. But what were you finding as an 18-year-old was getting to a university for the first time on their own? Were they literate in finance?
I dealt with a good amount of students that were literate as far as understanding what a budget was. I found that there were also a good amount of students that were still struggling with making choices. They understood what a budget was, but they weren't necessarily all following that budget. They weren't all necessarily saving for that rainy day. There was a lot of like, I'm going to go to Starbucks every day, get my drink. Towards the end of the semester, I may run out of meal plan funds, and just being aware of my needs need to come before my wants. That was the biggest thing that I seen and you know, talk to students about needs and wants, having that sense of responsibility.
What's next? As you said, there's a staggered release to the books that are coming out that you'll have on Amazon. What are you working on after that?
The ultimate goal is to position Mo's Money Moves as a tool for not only families to be able to start conversations and carry on conversations with their children, but hopefully try to incorporate it into some curriculum here at the local level at some of our schools with our younger children. Once after the trilogy of stories comes out, each story trilogy will be followed by a workbook that also touches on all the core concepts that were discussed in the stories with a parent or a teacher. The students can go through that workbook and build on those concepts and make more progress.
If somebody was interested in maybe having you speak or come to an organization or classroom to talk to kids about financial literacy, are you available to do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How do they get a hold of you?
You can email me directly at askmomoneymoves@gmail.com.
askmomoneymoves@gmail.com. Is that Mo, M-O-E, or M-O?
M-O-E.
M-O-E. Ask Mo with an E, moneymoves@gmail.com. We'll also post that at nprillinois.org with the post for this show. As you see all the economic stuff that's been happening for people over this past couple years, what advice do you have for them on how to navigate it?
It's hard because you don't really know what is going to happen. I would say just be very aware of your spending. Make sure that you're being diligent in your planning. Make sure you're taking care of your needs first. Always what you can afford to put to the side and save for the rainy day, do it. The wants are also, you know, okay. It's not that you shouldn't buy things that you want, but you should plan for it. If you know there's something that you would like to have, make sure it fits within the budget, make sure the timeline of when you're going to purchase it makes sense, and just make sure that you're staying on top of your accounts. There's always those expenses or those charges that come up that you didn't plan for, you didn't expect, or maybe you forgot. And when you don't notate that in your budget and adjust your budget accordingly, sometimes that can throw you off. So a budget isn't something that's supposed to be hard set. Just make sure you're sticking with it and you are revising your plan as you go.
When it comes to credit, should people be establishing credit or using credit cards, or how should they be using it?
My philosophy is if you're building credit, it's okay to use your cards. The strategy that I normally take is if I'm going to spend this money on groceries or rent or whatever I'm going to spend it on anyway, I'll put it on my credit card and then pay it off with the funds that I was budgeting for that anyway. And that's going to help me build that relationship with my lender and make sure that payment history is great and I'm utilizing that credit. I wouldn't use it just for frivolous things. Just again, going back to your budget, making sure that it's in your plan. If you need it for your rainy day, you know, that's fine. But I would be very careful about how you're using your credit, for sure.
The key is to strive to pay off the monthly amount so you don't get any interest charges.
Absolutely.
And then sometimes I know I've had to use mine as when emergency stuff comes up, the refrigerator goes out or the car needs repair. Yeah. Hopefully you've saved some money to handle those things, but once in a while you've got to float it out there a little bit.
You do. You make sure that you're reading those agreements, you understand what your interest rates are, and you're making a plan to pay off the debt and not just only making the minimum payment and not making any effort to get that off, because that interest will add up really, really quickly.
Yeah, it'll eat you up. What is the most frequent question you get about finances?
I would say recently it's probably more geared towards negotiation when it comes to like salary negotiation and understanding your worth and how you go about asking for what you believe you deserve whenever you're taking on new positions. I find that to probably be the thing that I spoke to students about the most, outside of the controlling the spending and the needs versus wants. So just understanding value and how to look at structuring your ask, making sure that you're considering full compensation packages and not just base salary.
How do you make sure you're not over asking or under asking?
Well, you have to determine your value. You have to determine where the job is taking place, what the market looks like. You need to do your research on.
Do you just accept that they say this is the range?
No, you never accept it. They just say this is the range. When you're going into negotiations, you already have in the back of your head what your floor is and what your ceiling is. You'll look at the market and see what they're paying people for this role in this area based on their requirements and what your experience is. You'll have your ceiling, you'll have your floor.
It is a negotiation, and you can determine whether you want to walk away or not from the position, depending on whether they can hit that. We're talking with Curtis Sanders, and Curtis has written a set of books, Mo's Money Moves. They're for younger folks to get financial literacy as they get started in life. Recap for us again the series and where they can find it.
Yeah, so the series Mo's Money Moves is available now on Amazon. The first book, Niall's Awesome Car Fund. The series walks through different core concepts of financial literacy through storytelling, but it also has a interactive element. Once the story is over, there's a parent section for parents to be able to speak with their children about reflective moments throughout the story and practice different core concepts. There's also a badge system for when children finish a story, they'll earn a badge, and kind of gives them a great feeling about achieving progress, not necessarily mastering something, but I'm making progress. I've been introduced to this topic and I feel good about it.
Anything else you'd like to let people know?
I think that it is very important that we include our young ones and our children in these conversations and allow them to see how you are handling different money conversations and money situations, I think the more that you allow them into those rooms, the more comfortable they will be discussing it, asking questions, thinking about it. It'll just be less scary, less anxiety ridden for them as they grow and they enter their own situations where they have to start handling money on their own.
I really appreciate that, Curtis. I know I've heard from many families who money was never talked about when they were growing up. And the fact that you're doing that with your family, but not only that, expanding it to help other families out with their kids, that's really appreciated. I agree with you that reducing that anxiety and making people feel comfortable about what they've got to do as they get into adulthood to take care of themselves is really important. Again, we'll have the information for Curtis Sanders' series at our post on nprillinois.org. Curtis, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
What does the Community Voices process look like? Well, it starts with trying to identify a good neighbor to talk to or an event that may be interesting that for some folks it may be hard to get to. First, we get that on the radar, figure out when that is going to happen if there is a date involved with it. But more than anything, we depend on you to suggest a guest. By emailing communityvoices@nprillinois.org, we then go into a process of getting in contact with that person, figuring out if there's enough there, which there usually is, to talk about to help us get to know a little bit more about them or what they're working on or an event that's coming up. We have them come into the studios here at NPR Illinois and do an interview. That interview then gets edited and scheduled to air. It eventually comes on the air and then also gets posted at nprillinois.org, where we share it on social media and encourage our guests and you to do so too. If you missed a past Community Voices, go to nprillinois.org right now, and thanks for being part of Community Voices. Jesus.